I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Did you ever think about how important clothing is in our world? I've traveled in some other parts of the world, and even where people are very poor, they often have some unique and beautiful clothing that they reserve for special events. Clothing expresses culture, identity, gender, and status. And the scriptures have quite a bit to say about clothing, both literally and figuratively. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. On today's program, we're continuing our study in the book of Colossians, and the Apostle Paul uses clothing as a metaphor to teach us spiritual truth. So I hope you can stay with me. Right now, let's worship with the men as they sing, "Be exalted, O God."
I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to Thee among the nations. For Thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and Thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be over all the earth. I will give sing praises to Thee among the nations, for Thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and Thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let Thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, be exalted.
Thank you, men. If you're tuning in for the first time, we welcome you, and we want you to know that this program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. We currently broadcast our Bible teaching programs in English and 21 other languages to a variety of places around the world. Places like Morocco, India, China, Tajikistan, Turkey, Nepal, Malawi, and more. Now, you might ask the question, is radio effective? Does it really work? Let me tell you about Nadia. That's not her real name, but Nadia grew up thinking that no one really loved her. As a child, she was sad and withdrawn. She had no purpose for living. But as she got older, one of her relatives told her about the love of Jesus, and by faith, she reached out and accepted the gift of eternal life. Her life was changed, and she found great joy. But her family didn't support her choice because she'd been raised in a Muslim home. In fact, they prevented her from going to church or having any contact with other Christ followers. And so life was very difficult for her. But then one day, she was searching for music on her phone, and she found Radio 7. Radio 7 in Albania produces and airs our Bible teaching broadcasts in the Albanian language. And so privately, Nadia began listening to the radio programs on her phone, and she began to grow in her walk with the Lord. Through media and with the help of the Radio 7 staff, Nadia learned how to memorize scripture, how to pray, and to understand that being a Christ follower involves suffering. The teaching she heard on the radio helped her to keep from stumbling and being discouraged during those early years when she endured a lot of opposition from her family. Not long ago, Nadia wrote these words, "No matter how far away you are, or how impossible it is for you to attend a church, read the Bible, or whatever, with God, nothing is impossible. He finds a way. He opens a door or window where you can enter to grow in life with Him." Certainly, you and I can confess with Nadia that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. And many souls have been his prey, to fall in some dark hour.
But God has promised us today his overcoming power.
Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In the world.
Thank you, men, for that powerful truth expressed in that song. It's a truth you and I need to hang on to in these turbulent times. Evil seems to be gaining the upper hand, but don't get discouraged. Remember, Jesus is our captain, and we are on the winning team. Now, stay tuned for my teaching, Pursuing Perfection. In 2019, people all over the world spent nearly $2 trillion on clothing, and that includes footwear. The United States was by far the largest consumer. We spent nearly $360 million on clothing. We know that short-lived fashions created by wealthy designers drive an almost insatiable desire to be part of the latest trends. It's interesting to me that people who shout the loudest against being told what to do, they follow the latest fads like a herd of sheep. The amount of money that's spent on clothing every year does give us some indication of the importance, doesn't it? But clothing isn't only a fashion statement, you know that. It's a statement of identification. Think about police officers, EMTs, firefighters, and military personnel. All of them have recognizable uniforms, and even many private corporations require their employees to wear uniforms, all the way from the front office to the janitorial staff. And some private schools still require uniforms for their students. Here in North America, we have a saying, dress the part. Now, what we mean by that is to dress the way that people in a particular role usually dress. Someone said, if you want the people at work to think you're a professional, then you have to dress the part. And it's that concept that drives much of the luxury clothing market, because people purchase these overpriced brands because of the status that they convey. In the book of Zechariah, there's an interesting scene from a vision that was given to the prophet, and the scene involves clothing. In the vision, Zechariah sees Joshua, the high priest, who is wearing filthy garments, and he's standing before God and the angel of the Lord. And Satan is there too. He's standing at Joshua's right hand to accuse him. And then the Lord speaks. He says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Then the Lord speaks again, and he says, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to Joshua he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Do you understand what's happening here? God is taking away the sin of Joshua, typified by his filthy clothing, and he's giving him a robe of righteousness. In other words, when the heart is changed and forgiveness of sin is accepted, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The question is, what does the righteousness of Christ look like on a practical level? And that's what we want to explore today on this edition of The Voice of Hope. In our continuing study from the book of Colossians, we're in chapter 3. In our previous study from the opening verses of this chapter, we looked at Paul's teaching on what it means to be risen with Christ. And we talked about the changes that take place when we, by faith, enter into the death and resurrection of Jesus. One of the things we noted that changes is our focus. We are to be constantly seeking the things that are above, that is, the things of Christ. Our way of thinking shifts from primarily thinking about earthly things to thinking about heavenly things. Now, obviously, we must think about earthly things in order to sustain our physical life. But you know, even in that, we shouldn't lose sight of the greater goal to use earthly things to heavenly advantage. Another change we noted was that of discipline. As a result of our being in Christ, Paul says there are certain practices that cannot be part of our lives. We observed that verse 5 lists a series of sexual sins, or sins of the body, that include covetousness, which I believe is the root of most, if not all, sexual sins. Paul told the believers at Colossae, and by extension, tells us, that these things need to be put to death within us personally and among us corporately. Paul told the Ephesian believers that there should be no hint of these sins. They shouldn't even be named once among the saints. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Today, we begin a study from Colossians 3 and verses 8 to 14, which I've titled Pursuing Perfection. This section builds on the verses that preceded it, and it reminds us that when we made Christ preeminent, remember, that's the theme of this letter, Christ is preeminent. When we make him preeminent in our lives, then that choice will impact us in dramatic ways. So let's dig in. I'll begin by reading the text, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 to 14. This is God's word to us. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. In this text, Paul uses the metaphor of a change of clothing to show us how our relationship with the risen Christ will result in the pursuit of perfection. The first part of the metaphor is discard the old. Now, as I mentioned just a moment ago, Paul uses the metaphor of clothing several times in this text, and he also uses it in some of his other writings. And you'll soon see why it fits so well. Paul begins this section by saying that since you have embraced the risen Christ, since you have made him preeminent in your life, since you have passed from that old life of sinful conduct, then here's what you need to do next. Strip yourself of the following vices and cast them aside. Now, the previous list of sins from verse 5 focuses primarily on the sins of the body. In our text for this message, Paul focuses more on sins of the spirit. But remember, Paul is writing to those who profess to follow Christ. You see, the life of a Christ follower is both a destination and a journey. Our initial embrace of salvation through faith in the blood of Jesus is the first step on the journey. It makes us righteous in the sight of God. We are justified. But salvation isn't the destination. The destination is Christ-likeness. The destination will be reached when we're completely conformed to His image. And you know, that won't happen until we are in His presence. But in the meantime, we journey onward toward the goal, like the Apostle Paul, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the process we call discipleship. And what are those articles of clothing that Paul urges us to discard? First is anger. We all know what that is. Anger is one of our human emotions, and Paul recognizes it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, where he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger." And he further implies in that particular passage that unresolved anger gives Satan an opportunity for making inroads into your life and mine. What are the things that make you angry? In my observation, it's often one of two things. Either I feel like my rights have been violated, or secondly, my expectations haven't been met. For example, I feel like I have a right to peace and quietness in my home. So when the teenage neighbor starts practicing his drumming while I'm trying to listen to a recording, or I'm reading, or I'm trying to concentrate on some other task, I feel like that right has been violated. And the natural response is for me to get angry at the person who is violating my right to quietness. And then there are expectations. I'm one of those people who believe in punctuality. I despise being late, so I almost always plan to be early for appointments and meetings that I have. And then when someone sets up an appointment with me and they come late, or maybe fail to show up altogether, my unmet expectations can easily cause an angry reaction. Now, I'm sure that you can think of your own examples, things that trigger your anger. As the word is used here, it speaks of a violent emotion or of a desire for punishment or vengeance. And you know, this is one of the things I must continually allow the Holy Spirit to enable me to discard. I can get so upset at drivers who don't pay attention or who ignore the law. I've sometimes said this, "Where are the police when you need them?" I've had a speeding car pass me on the interstate, only to see them down the road a distance, sitting on the shoulder, and there's a police car behind them, and the officer's giving them a citation. And I can't resist the urge to tap the horn as I go by, to say, "Ha, serves you right." But then I ask, "Who made me a judge?" And then Paul mentions wrath. Wrath often develops as people brood over their anger. They take a perceived offense, or a real one for that matter, and they turn it over and over and over in their mind. It's a little bit like putting a pot on the stove to boil. Verse 6 of this chapter mentions the impending wrath of God upon the wicked. The word here is thumos, and it is passion, fierceness, indignation, and it indicates the agitation of the spirit as well as the physical effects. Things like elevated blood pressure and heavy breathing. We all know what that's like, don't we? Eventually, it results in angry outbursts. In his epistle, James reminds us that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And Paul agrees. He says, take this off and discard it. Next on Paul's list of things to discard is malice. How would you define that? What is malice? Well, it's ill will, especially the desire to injure another person or to rejoice in their misfortune. One of the synonyms of malice is malignity, and the root word is malign. To malign someone is to speak evil of them, and often unjustly. The word is also related to malignant, a term that's often associated with cancer. Unchecked malignancy leads to deterioration and death. It's something that infiltrates and grows. It is evil in its nature, its influence, and its effects. Malignity is passionately and relentlessly malevolent. It desires the downfall of other people. In the aftermath of the American Civil War, President Lincoln included these words in his second inaugural address. He said, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." You know that after the war, there was a lot of ill feeling, a lot of malice, a lot of animosity. Some people in the South were bitter about the scorched earth tactics that had been used by the North. And some people in the North wanted the people of the South to suffer even more than they already had for all the death and destruction that had resulted from their rebellion. But President Lincoln wisely said, "No, we're not going to do that." He knew that would only increase the bitterness and prevent the healing and the forgiveness that needed to take place. It's unfortunate, but some of that bitterness still lingers, even today. What's more distressing to me is the amount of malice that exists among those who profess to follow Christ. You know, it must have been a problem in Colossae too. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have mentioned it here. The Holy Spirit would not have brought it to his attention, but he was inspired to write these words. All of us experience hurts in life. Jesus told us in Luke 17:1 that offenses are inevitable. They will come. It's just part of life. But when they do come, God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us grace to respond with meekness and forgiveness. He empowers us to return good for evil. But if we fail to accept the grace that God offers to us in those times of hurt and pain, what happens? We become bitter, and we begin to seek revenge. I am deeply grieved by the amount of bitterness that exists in our churches today. So many congregations have been torn apart because people are not willing to forgive. And those feelings of bitterness breed a desire for revenge, which leads to the next level of things that we're to put off. Paul says, put off blasphemy. But we'll need to leave that because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's teaching. Lord willing, we'll return to this important study next time we're together. In the meantime, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, just write and ask for it by its title, Pursuing Perfection. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. You can request your CD or printed copy of this complete teaching, Pursuing Perfection, by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a copy of this teaching titled Pursuing Perfection, either in print or on an audio CD. Or to review today's program or listen to previous programs, you may log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to these at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Ask for your copy of the teaching, Pursuing Perfection. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week as we continue our study, Pursuing Perfection. And until we meet again, ponder this question.
Are you dressed for the wedding? Have you washed your robes? Are you dressed for the banquet? Are you ready to go? Are your lamps trimmed, burning with the Spirit's light? Are you ready for the wedding if the groom comes tonight? Have you heard that there's a wedding and it's coming soon, I know? The whole wide world's invited, are you ready now to go? Oh, there will be a banquet, won't you come and dine? See the King of all the ages turning water into wine. Are you dressed for the wedding? Have you washed your robes? Are you dressed for the banquet? Are you ready to go? Are your lamps trimmed and burning with the Spirit's light? Are you ready for the wedding if the groom comes tonight? When you hear that trumpet sounding on a bright and glorious day, when you hear the angels singing, you will up and fly away. There will be a celebration like none the world has known on that everlasting morning when the Lord comes for his own. Are you dressed for the wedding?